Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Tuesday live in finally sunny Southern California. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, Sirius XM Channel 83, and Joy Taylor is joining me. We have a show today, and 1 hour from now, I will give you my mock draft, first 12 picks, thought a lot about it, my mock draft in 1 hour. I've read everybody else's. My former employer doesn't allow their people to have trades in the draft, which I think is absurd because I've got a big one, which I think is going to happen. And Joy Taylor is joining me today. Joy, how are you?
I'm good. So you are going to have a little bit of movements in your draft.
Yes. I think it's ridiculous to say, well, there's not going to be any trades. There's going to be trades. Teams move up to get quarterbacks. 10 of the last 14 first-round quarterbacks, somebody's moved up to get them because they want them, and there's somebody else that wants them, so we are going to have a trade early in this draft, not only in my mock draft, but we're going to have one, and I think it's obvious where it's going to happen. So let me just start with this. So I think all these quarterbacks are fine. I think Tua, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love. I think Jordan Love's a little more of a prospect, but he's going to be good. They're all going to work in this league. It's just going to be timetables. Lamar Jackson had to wait 11 games to start. Baker and Sam Darnold, you know, they started him right off the bat. It's going to take time. Josh Allen was pretty bumpy early, but now it looks to be really good. So I saw this yesterday, and it's just, you think I'm criticizing Joe Burrow here. I'm defending him, and remember that for the next 7 minutes. Boomer Esiason, former NFL quarterback, compares Joe Burrow to LeBron James. Okay. So we got Daniel Jeremiah, my buddy, compared him to Brady. An NFL scout anonymously compared him to Peyton Manning. Joel Klatt compared him to Joe Montana. And Boomer Esiason's comparing him to LeBron James. Two words. Good hell. He is none of those. Those are legends. First of all, when it comes to legends, most, not all, but most have a physical gift. They look different, or they have a skill that's different. Russell Wilson never gets hit. 8 years running around. He is uniquely mobile. He is a legend. Brett Favre had one of the best arms in league history. Joe Namath, one of the best arms in league history. They have a skill. They have something, a physical trait. It's often LeBron James looked different. Tiger Woods was driving the ball. They had to change courses for Tiger Woods. So most legends, Trevor Lawrence to me has a chance to be a legend. Clemson quarterback, 6'6", rifle, huge arm, huge hands, massive physical frame. That's what legends look like at 19 years old. Joe Burrow is 6'3 and a half, 215, kind of a skinny neck. They say average arm. It's not a special arm. His hand size is 9. That's below ideal hand size. He's not physically blowing you away. John Elway walked into this league, first year in the league, strongest arm. Brett Favre, strongest arm. Aaron Rodgers walked in. Dan Marino walked in. Pow. I went to a party one time. I know this is a strange name drop. The late Hugh Hefner. He had the Hef's mansion in real ritzy part of Los Angeles, right? So I got invited to a party, and there was all sorts of, like, stars there. Peyton Manning towered over the crowd. Peyton Manning is 6'5". Have you ever seen Peyton Manning in person? He's 6'5", big head, big shoulders, big butt. He's a big man. There were all sorts of boxers and celebrities there. Peyton, you could see him from 50 feet away. Peyton Manning was big. Tom Brady in person, 6'5". You ever bumped into Tom Brady? Tom's huge. The average American man's 5'10". Tom Brady's 7 inches taller. He's big. He's got big hands. He's got a big butt. These are big athletes. Most legends, LeBron looked different. Tiger looked. Magic was a 6'9 and a half point guard. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was running up and down the court at UCLA. They wouldn't let freshmen play. He walked into UCLA. The Bruins were the national champions. Kareem Abdul, he was Lou Alcindor at the time, walked in to UCLA. He was longer and stronger and faster than all the other players who had just won the national championship. He led the freshman team to a 30-point rout at UCLA over the national champions the previous year. He was physically different. Wilt was physically different. Magic, LeBron, Michael Jordan, well, he was a So let's just start with that. The physical dimension. He doesn't have it. He's Tony Romo. He's a pro athlete, but he's not physically impressive. The second thing is that it took him years to produce. He only produced in college, not even at LSU, because he didn't produce at LSU his junior year. He only produced when everything went right. Legends produce despite obstacles. He wasn't good his junior year at LSU. They had all these NFL players. He wasn't any good. He completed 57% of his throws at LSU. Tua was great day one. National championship game, great day one. That's what legends do. Justin Fields, Ohio State sophomore, great. Best player arguably in the Big Ten is a sophomore. Do you realize only six players in the first round will probably be seniors? Great jumps off the television screen early. You don't sit around and wait for everything to line up perfectly. Then you lead it to winning. That doesn't. Again, Joe Burrow, you think I'm ripping him. People are calling him a legend. He's not physically elite, and he didn't pop until his final year in college. That's not the way legends work. There's only one comedian in the history of comedy that was a late starter, Rodney Dangerfield. Jon Stewart, Bill Maher, the Dennis Millers, the Steve Harveys, these guys were like 17, 18, 19, 20 and had agents and scouts all over them and were popping. Jerry Seinfeld, Jay Leno, Chris Rock, they didn't hit at 42. They didn't hit at 38. At 21 years old, Andre Agassi, tennis, Serena Williams, it's 12. They don't grow into. Kevin Garnett was like 16 years old, and people are like, he's the next great thing. LeBron was 15, the chosen one. Bryce Harper, cover of Sports Illustrated, 16. So legends look different, and legends don't grow into it. Well, what about Tom Brady? There are exceptions, but it should be noted, Brady physically is way bigger than the average NFL quarterback. You put Brady next to Aaron Rodgers, Tom is significantly bigger. And Aaron's great. He is significantly bigger than Aaron Rodgers. He stands next to Dak. He's bigger. He's a 6'5 and a half quarterback, Brady, who got drafted by the major leagues in high school. He is a special athlete. You just, you know, you look at Lamar or Russell Wilson, he doesn't add up there physically as a speed guy. So here's another thing to remember. So physically, he doesn't look like a legend. Secondly, he popped only when everything lined up for him. But here are the players taken of all the current starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Here are the quarterbacks taken as the first quarterback in their draft of the current starters. Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, Mitch Trubisky. Here are the current starting quarterbacks in the NFL taken as the second quarterback in the draft they were in. Patrick Mahomes, Carson Wentz, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones, Philip Rivers. A lot more wins. Why? Because Joe Burrow's not going to have the kind of coach Mahomes does, or Wentz does, or Brees, or a Rodgers. When you go first, you go to a worse team, a worse owner, a worse GM, and generally a worse scouting department. So Burrow's going to have a major disadvantage, not to mention he enters a division now which is stacked defensively. He enters a division against the Rooney family in Pittsburgh. Steve Bisciotti owns the Ravens. Those are two of the top five ownership groups in the NFL. What does that mean? They hire better coaches. They have better scouts. They have better executives. They have better organizations. If you go back 20 years, and you take the Ravens and the Steelers seasons. So if you go back 20 years, take two NFL teams, that's 40 total seasons, right? Four times the Steelers or Ravens have been below 500. The Bengals in 4 years have been below 500 four times. Burrow's not a legend. He's not physically a legend. Legends don't wait forever to pop. Don't give me this Michael Jordan. He got cut from his high school team as a freshman. Michael Jordan was a McDonald's All-American who got recruited by, at the time, the most notable coach in college basketball, Dean Smith. Dean Smith was bigger than Coach K when Michael came out. And then Michael won a national title as a freshman at Carolina. And then broke into the NBA and was a blizzard offensively. A relentless tiger. A blizzard. You couldn't stop him. Players couldn't get along with him. Coaches, he got him fired. But he was relentless. Larry Bird couldn't stop him. The Pistons couldn't stop him. Now, he couldn't carry the Bulls over those teams, but they couldn't stop him. So these, oh my Lord, we've got him stacked up as Peyton Manning and LeBron James, and it's just so unfair. He's going to be a nice NFL player. We got to take a deep breath on Joe Burrow. He's been compared to Brady, Peyton Manning, LeBron James, and Joe Montana. Give me a break on this stuff. He's going to be Tony Romo. No titles, good kid, works hard, gets his brains beat in by better organizations in the same division.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
You know I like Tua, but I do think the medical stuff is it's worrisome. I've said before, I see Drew Brees, a left-handed. I think he's bizarrely accurate. I think he's an unbelievable leader. And if you asked me to sum up Drew Brees in two words, I would say accuracy and leadership. I think Tua is that. But Tua's got an injury, and it's real, and it's scaring teams. Should be noted, Drew Brees' injuries early scared teams. The Miami Dolphins today still regret it. So are they going to pass on Tua if he's available, pass on Brees and Tua? I would have a hard time doing that if I was down in Miami. So, but Nick Saban knows him better than anybody because he recruited him. He spent 2-3 years recruiting him out of high school. Then he lands him. Then he has him for 3 years. They're very tight. And Saban offers a criticism of Tua that I think is incredibly valid and something I'm not sure you can correct.
Most of his injuries here have occurred when he extends plays and he does not give up on the play. And it's because he's a great competitor. And you certainly, you know, don't want to inhibit that spirit in any way, shape, or form. But there's also a time to be smart. Both ankle injuries that he got and even his hip injury this year were all because, you know, he was trying to make a play when the play had broken down. And it really, there wasn't anything there. And to throw the ball away sometimes is okay.
Now think about this. Nick Saban's a great coach. He couldn't coach that out of him. Okay, Nick Saban's better than 99% of the guys coaching in the NFL. He may not be Andy Reid or Sean Payton, maybe he is, or Belichick, maybe he is. But he's better than almost everybody on the planet coaching, and he couldn't coach that out of him. And I've said this before, I've ever had a therapist for, you know, I don't now currently, but I've had in my life gone to therapy, and the last therapist I had said something that really stuck with me. I think I told this to Joy before. Change is hard if you wanted to change. Most people don't want to. That people tend to revert back who they are in a time of crisis or when they're challenged. When the pocket collapses, this is who Tua is. He's a playmaker. Can you coach it out of him? Baker Mayfield. People are like, you know, he's just a little cocky. This is who he is. You've got to own it, know it, accept it, and build around it. Kirk Cousins. I've had two people inside the Vikings organization tell me. He gets anxious in big spots. He's a teeth clencher. That's who he is. Build a formula around him that can overcome that innate DNA quality. Tom Brady is better in the fourth than the first quarter. That's who he is. You can't teach that. Brett Favre's a classic example. We all have a default mechanism, right? We all have something we go to in a crisis. And Brett Favre had one of, if not the greatest NFL arm I've ever seen. It was way up there with Elway, Marino. He just had a cannon. And it was his default mechanism because Brett Favre's arm had saved him in so many instances, high school, college to pro, that anytime there was an issue, Brett was like, okay, this is my de facto out. I am going to let her rip. He leads the NFL all time in interceptions. He is also one of the greatest players in league history. But that's innately who Brett is. You could not coach that sort of mindset out of him. Oh, crap. Here I am in trouble. I can squeeze that thing in there. That's who he was. And you have to build around that gunslinger mentality. Tua pocket collapses. His innate response, I'm moving, I'm a playmaker. Nick Saban couldn't coach it out of him. And Nick Saban's a top five coach in the world of football. So Andy Reid's talked about this. I find what you are, and I heighten and elevate what you are, and try to never ask what you're not. So the criticism by Saban is interesting. is Tua bound to get hurt in the pros because he has this quality that Nick couldn't coach out of him? And if Nick can't coach it out of him, could an Anthony Lynn? Could a Brian Flores? It's interesting. It's smart. It's something to think about. I will.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So I'm going to do a mock draft. Everybody's got a mock draft. I think the longer you give a weather forecast as a meteorologist, the less accurate you are. So I'm not going to go through the entire first round. I'm going to go 12 picks. Bengals to the Raiders. Raiders had a great draft last year. So here we go. Here is my mock draft. I'm into this stuff. I always have been. I'm a total dork. I get it. I'm living with it. Here we go. All right. Number one, the Cincinnati Bengals, easiest pick on the board, pick LSU quarterback Joe Burrow. He had a great year. He's a nice, to me, B-plus prospect. They need a quarterback. They have a need. He's there. He's from Ohio. He went to Athens High School in the Plains. So Joe Burrow goes to the Bengals. Number two, the Redskins, second easiest take on the board, although I do believe Washington would have discussions about trading this. Chase Young, all-time leader at Ohio State in sacks for a single season. Remarkable considering the Bosa boys went there. It's interesting. Washington is actually pretty good up front defensively. Top third in the NFL in sacks. I think Ron Rivera could engineer even more with his schemes. But Chase Young is a once in a every 5 year pass rush talent. They get him. Number three. Okay, we got a trade. The Chargers and Detroit Lions flop picks. The Chargers move up to three. The Lions back to six. And the Lions get a corner from the Chargers and two draft picks to move up, and the Chargers take Justin Herbert. Last four NFL drafts, the 14 first-round quarterbacks, 10 people moved up to get him. I think the Chargers are sending out messages. They want him without saying it. The four biggest games for Herbert last year: Auburn, Wisconsin, Utah, and Washington. He played great, or at least very well in all four, and came one play away from going 4-0. He's NFL ready. He'll sit for a year and then be the Chargers franchise quarterback. Number four, the New York Giants take Clemson stud Isaiah Simmons. Listen, they have two really good defensive tackles. They need playmakers. They gave up over 28 points a game defensively in a division with the offensively gifted Cowboys and Carson Wentz and the Eagles. They got to make stops. They are not winning games in this division, regardless of how good Daniel Jones is, until they make stops, and Simmons can solve a lot of their issues. Number five, Dolphins. They take Tua. 199 career efficiency passer rating in college football, best of all time. This organization passed on Drew Brees years ago, who had some injuries. They've regretted it since. Tua is not a perfect candidate because of the medical issues. He can get healthy behind Ryan Fitzpatrick. The Dolphins will also, with 14 draft picks, build an offensive line, let it mature for a year and bake before Tua plays. Number six. This is the Lions now, who got a corner and a draft pick or two from the Chargers. They take Derrick Brown. He's the best interior defensive lineman in the draft. They lost a couple of defensive tackles in free agency. They also allowed 400 yards a game, second worst in the NFL. So, Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn, they get draft picks from the Chargers, a starting corner from the Chargers, and now get the best interior defensive lineman in the draft. Really good start for the Lions in this year's draft. Number seven, the Carolina Panthers take Ohio State corner Jeff Okudah. The Lions liked him but couldn't pass up the trade to get a corner and a top defensive lineman. The Panthers allowed 29 points a game last year, second worst in the NFL, also lost their best corner to free agency James Bradbury. So Okudah drops a couple of spots. Lions wanted him but had to bite at what the Chargers offered to get Herbert. They move down. The Panthers are the beneficiary, getting the best corner from a University of Ohio State that's a factory for corners. Number eight. The Arizona Cardinals take Iowa offensive tackle Tristan Wirfs. Listen, Kyler Murray got sacked 48 times. Now, just consider that. That is arguably the second or third most mobile quarterback in the league, got sacked 48 times. They have to protect their ass set. They've also got DeAndre Hopkins. They went out and got Kenyon Drake. So they've got him weapons. They've got their coach. They got their quarterback. Now they have to protect him. They get Tristan Wirfs. Number nine. The Jags take the best receiver easily in this draft, Jerry Jeudy. Listen, they're tanking to get a quarterback next year. When they get Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, they're going to hand him the best young wide receiver talent in two or three drafts in Jerry Jeudy. He is spectacular. This team has a million things they have to worry about, but I don't think there's going to be a wide receiver as good last year, this year, or next year as Jeudy, and the Jags get him. The Cleveland Browns at number 10. What did they do in the offseason? They have terrible tackles. They went and got a right tackle, Jack Conklin in free agency. Nice player. They need a left tackle. They'll get Mekhi Becton. Baker was sacked 40 times last year. The interior of their O-line's not bad. They were really below average at tackle, so they get a free agency right tackle. They get a starting left tackle. I think this is a really obvious pick. Number 11, the New York Jets. Okay, 52 sacks last year. They've already gone out in free agency and found a right tackle, Noah Fant, and a center, Connor McGovern. They will go and draft Jedrick Wills, an underrated tackle for Bama. I think he's as good as any of the tackles. They'll put him out to the left side. So now they have rebuilt their offensive line for Sam Darnold. Second round, they'll get a corner. Third round, they have two picks. They'll get a receiver and another interior offensive lineman or a linebacker. The Jets take Jedrick Wills. And finally, 12, the Raiders take C.J. Henderson, the fastest corner. Raiders love speed. Listen, they nailed their draft last year, and they went with a lot of offensive players, tight end, receiver, running back. This year, they've got to solve defense. You're in a division with Patrick Mahomes. You got to get corners, and you got to get edge rushers, and they feel they got the latter last draft. This year, they go for a Gator and get a corner. All right, there's my mock draft. I just had so much fun doing that. You have no idea. You have no idea how much I liked it. I could be wrong on all picks except Joe Burrow. He's going to Cincy, that I know.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Herm Edwards is joining me. There are few people I've ever worked with that have left more of an imprint, kind of an indelible imprint on watching him lead, watching him talk. He's an entertainer. And this is one of the reasons Arizona State's recruiting has been unbelievable. By the way, you know, we're talking about all these quarterbacks. They got a kid named Jaden Daniels who played last year as a true freshman. Oh, folks, in about 2 years, Jaden Daniels, well, not this draft, but two drafts from that, as a true junior, Jaden Daniels, maybe the number one player picked. By the way, Herm, as a defensive guy, how did you convince an unbelievable quarterback to come to your defensive and running program? How'd you do that?
Well, this is where you have to make him understand that is any head coach, he's only as good as the quarterback he has. Hey, you know, there's this guy that just left New England, you know, that Captain America guy.
Yeah.
His coach is a defensive guy, too.
Right. You once told me, Herm, you said, I remember this, we were at ESPN together, and you said, Colin, if I'd have had a healthy quarterback, I wouldn't be broadcasting sitting next to you. I'd be in the league. You had a lot of success. You know, it's funny, because here comes the draft. And I like Joe Burrow. He's a nice player, but good God, the LSU team was loaded. I like Tua, but there's the injury. But I want to talk about Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
You faced him twice, and you gave him fits. Boy, in Tempe, it was a mess for him. You intercepted him four times in two games. You won one, you lost one. But let's go back to this, Herm. You brought NFL concepts to the college game at Arizona State. What did you throw at Justin Herbert that both times confused him?
Well, I think, you know, all quarterbacks, their ability to read your mail before pre-snap helps them. We tried a disguise coverage on him, gave him some different looks up front, forced him in some force him into some known downs too as well, Colin. You know, when I say the known downs, put him in position where he has to throw it sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, what we did is when we were fortunate enough, early in the games, we brought pressure. And that got him uncomfortable a little bit. I think the guy has a tremendous skill set. He's big, he's strong, he's athletic. I thought we saw his athleticism in the Rose Bowl.
Yes, yes.
When he ran. You know, people didn't know he could run that good. He can run, he can avoid, he's got a strong arm. You know, but Colin, you know this, and I've said this many a time, even when I was on your shows back up in the Worldwide Leader, is that most quarterbacks are system needy. 90% of them in the league.
Yeah.
And I think wherever these guys go, whether it's Joe Burrow, whether it's Love, whether it's Justin Herbert, whether it's Tua, are the coordinators or the quarterback coach willing to build a system around the kid's skill set? Because if they're not, they're going to fail. The prime example, say what you want, is the guy that plays for the Rams now. All of a sudden, the skill set and the development of that guy was built around what he could do well.
Yeah.
His first couple of years, everybody said, this guy's a bust. Well, all of a sudden, he comes in there and they change the offense a little bit around what this guy could do. Pretty good quarterback.
Right. Yeah, he throws Jared Goff throws, of course, a beautiful, beautiful ball. He's got a lot of Matt Ryan qualities. He throws an incredibly catchable ball, probably a better long ball than Matt Ryan has, and he's become a very, very good quarterback. So when you look at this draft, you were a defensive guy. You were a very good corner in the NFL in college. So that would lead me to believe, boy, Herm, if he was running a franchise, the Jets and the Chiefs, he would know defensive guys. But then I think you faced offensive guys. So maybe you're better at knowing offensive guys. When you were with the Chiefs and the Jets, what did you feel most comfortable drafting?
Well, Colin, I was kind of in a unique position because I came in the league as a part-time coach but a scout. So I learned how to evaluate players. And the first thing I did, I can remember going to training camp with the Chiefs my first time there. Howard Mudd was the offensive line coach,
yeah.
Great offensive line coach.
Yeah.
And I knew enough about football, skill positions, but really didn't know a lot about offensive line play. And so I sat at night in his meetings with the offensive line and learned how he coached them because I wanted to know, how do these guys play, right? And so I learned positions by my ability to sit in the room and listen to the coaches coach them. So then when they went on the field, I said, this is what he's teaching this guy, right? And figure that kind of stuff out. So for me, when I look at the draft, and I was a position coach, then became a head coach,
yeah,
I had a pretty good idea of the positions. Always sat in the quarterback's room. You got to sit in the quarterback's room. I mean, that's important. When the season starts, you're in the quarterback's room. I mean, you're kind of listening to the quarterback, and you're kind of talking to him from a defensive side of it. Hey, no different than what I do, Jayden. I said, Jayden, when they do this, when they give you this look, this is what's about to happen, right? And so, because you and the quarterback are connected together. Well, if I'm a defensive guy and I can sit in the quarterback's room early in the week after I've looked at the tape, with the coordinator as well, and give him some information from a defensive coach's eye on what the problem is and what he does to present a problem to the defense as well.
Herm Edwards is joining us. So you look at Tua, and
yeah,
it's easy to say, well, he got hurt in college, he'll get hurt in the pros like Sam Bradford. But I would say this, Patrick Mahomes had a wrist surgery in college, ACL joint issue, got knocked out of a game. He's been hurt in the NFL. Carson Wentz, hurt in college, hurt in the NFL. If a guy's got talent, Drew Brees, Dolphins passed on him. Saints yep. didn't. He had injuries. I think Tua is draftable, and I like him. Would you be concerned making him your franchise quarterback if you were Miami or the Chargers?
It's the eye of the beholder, and you make some great points there. You know, some players come in that have an injury record, and some guys go, they get concerned about injuries. I think the type of injury, a lot of times it has something to do with it. But yeah, with today in modern medicine and the way these physicians can do things, I mean, it's like, okay, he's a young guy. The arrows are pointing up. He's still young. And all those things go into factor. And let me tell you something. If you don't have a quarterback, if you don't have one, let me tell you something. You're going, hey, we ain't got a guy. And I said, and if this guy's coming in with a little injury, he's better than the guys we've got right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at Arizona State. You land Jaden Daniels, and it's changed your program. I mean, it just, the bottom line is, when I watch you play, you've always been good defensively, but the ability now to win 9 or 10 games is going to be because you found the right quarterback, who's a remarkably poised player for 19 years old. The kid is just, it's just incredible how good he is. I think he is the next. I honestly believe this. Next year, it's going to be Trevor Lawrence at Clemson and Justin Fields, Ohio State. I think the following year, your quarterback's going to be the number one pick potentially. Do you think he has that talent?
Well, he has talent. There's no doubt it. And he's a hard worker. I think with Zach Hill now running this new offense, I think it's going to fit a lot of things he can do well. That Boise State offense is something.
Yeah.
I like it. They run the ball. They give you a lot of different formations, personnel groups. That's all NFL stuff. And that's what guys want, make you go under center some. I mean, all those things occur. But it's just not only on the quarterback, because those guys are only good as the guys that protect them. And you got to have a good offensive line if you're going to win at any level. And that's something we're continuing to try to build around here. But if we can protect him, this kid's got a chance to be really good. There's no doubt.
So when you look at players in the draft, like I can look at a Joe Burrow, but he played with so many great players.
Talented, yeah.
And so go back to your Chiefs and Jets days, Herm, when you were drafting. Now, Rich McKay, you and I both know Rich McKay, former Tampa Bay. And Rich used to always tell me when I covered him in Tampa, and he built that Super Bowl team down in Tampa. He said, listen, I like guys who came from big programs that were on national TV games with 98,000 in a stadium, and they were great in big games because that's the NFL. It's pressure. When you were with the Jets, I think LSU guys usually make it in the NFL. They've played in so many big games.
Yeah.
Does it worry you a little, though, that Burrow played with 9 NFL guys? I mean, he didn't pop until his senior year with all those guys. Does that concern you?
Yeah, I think that can concern some guys, but I look at the position this way. First of all, is he a leader? Yeah, that checks the box. He's a leader. In big moments on the road, when he has to throw the ball and everybody knows it, is he accurate? Does he move the team? I learned this from Joe Montana. I played against Joe in the league, and then Joe came to Kansas City there with Marcus Allen, those guys. We made our run that year. He gets knocked out against the Bills in a championship game. So I'm sitting going to practice with Joe, and we're just talking. And the conversation comes up. He said, what kind of team is this? And I said, hey, Joe, we got a pretty good football team. We did. Kansas City's a good football team. He said, good quarterbacks win 4 games for you. I looked at him. I said, what? He said, they win 4 games a year. Well, what are you talking about? He says, in the fourth quarter, and when you're on the road, and, you're down, they find a way to bring the team back and score, and you win. And I looked at him, and I went, I never thought of it that way, but that's what they do. In the moments when you got to make the play, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the cast you have around you, does he make the play? Can he do it? And to me, that's the sign of a good quarterback. If you look at these NFL quarterbacks, let me ask you something now, Colin. If you got Aaron Rodgers, if you're on the road, and he's got one possession left, you probably feel pretty good about him having an opportunity to go down there and win the game, right?
Yeah, him and Russell Wilson.
We know who they are. They do it. And at the end of the season, in 16 games, it's going to be a tight game where you need to score. They do it. That's what separates them. That's what separates the great ones.
Yeah, it's so funny in this league. The average game is decided by 4 points. I mean, it's crazy. And so, I mean, I can go back to Super Bowls. I mean, Brady and Russell Wilson are in a game. It's one play that decides it. Go back to Brady in the Super Bowl against Atlanta, Edelman's catch. I mean, it is remarkable. The difference between being an NFL head coach and having to end up being an NFL commentator
is the quarterback.
And you had Chad Pennington, but he got hurt. Now, finally, you have worked – at the NFL level, and you've worked as a commentator and a motivational speaker, and you work at the college level. With all this information at the college level, we know that when Pete Carroll went college to pro, Herm, he had three great drafts because he knew all the players. Mike Mayock of the Raiders. Yep. He watched all these players in college, goes to the Raiders, he has a great draft. Herm, yep. I could argue, after this year or 2 years, you could go back to the NFL and you would know this college footprint and all these players because you recruited them. Is there a possibility you'd go back to pro football?
No. This is it. This is my last stand right here. I'm going to build a program and hopefully we can win the Pac-12 and hopefully win a Rose Bowl and then hand it over to somebody else. That's my goal.
Are you having fun?
Kyle, I'm having a blast. I miss my players at this point in time, you know, and the fact that with the virus. And look, as we're talking, I can't say enough about all the first responders, all the medical folks all over the country, all the people that are putting their lives in harm's way, trying to save those that have caught the virus, you know. And it's remarkable to see when you turn the television on and watch all these doctors and just people that just continue to go into buildings knowing, you know what, I could come out with the virus. Those are the heroes, Colin.
Yeah.
Those are truly the heroes.
So I love that you're having a good time. So you even like the recruiting?
Oh, yeah. Come on. You know, that's when it really gets fun, right? You know, when you're talking to the young people. I like meeting the parents and the guardians of a lot of these young men because you find out a lot about the family.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of those homes are like my home. You know, I look at them and I go, hey, I get it. I know where they're coming from. I get it. I understand this.
Did you, Herm, have a lot growing up or not much?
Not much. I mean, football was my way out.
Yeah.
I knew being an athlete was going to give me an opportunity to go to college. I was the first graduate out of our, you know, out of our family. I mean, my mom was a German war bride. My father joined the Army when he was, 17 years old. You know, he fought in World War II and the Korean War.
Yeah. Football got you out. You went to Cal, didn't you? Where'd you go?
Went to Cal.
Oh, my. You know,
right out of high school.
All those hippies and Herm Edwards?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine that going there in 1972? I went up there and went, what is this place?
That place.
I said, boy, oh, boy.
Yeah. It was, boy, that was the well, height of it. It was nothing but marijuana college, and hippies.
You know, yeah, I grew up in a great era. You're talking about the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
You know, I tell the story. I told you this story, you know. At 13 years old, you know, that Monterey Pop Festival they had down there in Monterey area.
Yeah.
And look, my babysitter took me to that thing and wasn't supposed to be going, and I saw Jimi Hendrix burn the guitar. I became a Jimi Hendrix fan after that day. I said, who? That 1968. And I'm like, who is this guy? It's Jimi Hendrix. So I actually watched Jimmy burn the guitar on stage.
Wow. That's great.
That's my claim to fame, Colin. A lot of things that happened to me in my life, but I actually saw Jimmy. I said, I seen Jimmy live.
God. You've had a full life, my friend.
Oh, I've been very fortunate. I've been blessed. A lot of people helped me along the way. I'm going to tell you something. You're a good friend. You know this, and you helped me. I mean, when I went to work for the Worldwide Leader, you know, watching how you worked and how organized you were and disciplined and how you gathered your thoughts. I mean, I watched all that. You know, I'm a guy always searching for knowledge. And mm-hmm. You watch people in certain professions and you gain knowledge from them. And you know, you guys helped me a lot. And I love coming on your show in the morning, getting you all fired up, man. That was a lot of fun too, you know.
Well, Herm, you know where my daughter goes to school down at ASU?
Yes, sir.
And I'm so proud, but it's just been an amazing story and continued success. And I love having you on occasionally, and go Devils.
Thank you, brother. God bless you, man. Stay safe, partner.